Welcome to another edition of the Lunch Special here on KZSU Stanford. Welcome to another edition of the Lunch Special. I'm honored today to have an extremely prolific Stanford person here, and I'm going to have him introduce himself. Mr. Patrick Hunt is our guest today. Patrick, you've written all the compositions that will be played on the show today, correct?
Yes, except for one.
And forgive me, but what's your title here at Stanford?
Well, I have several titles. That's
why I wanted you to say it.
I am currently the director of the Stanford Alpine Archaeology Project since 1994, and I have been a lecturer in about five departments here at Stanford, including humanities and classics and anthropological science.
But there is a music component to today's show that, like I said, you've written all the pieces. Oh, except for one.
Yes.
And what you've done today, something that we've never done on this show before, you brought a live band.
I really shouldn't call them a band.
They are a trio. They're the Paganini Trio.
Yes.
And we're going to introduce them after a little bit, along with a renowned opera singer and Stanford alum.
Yes.
And they're going to perform three separate pieces, two that you wrote, and one that you didn't.
Correct.
This is a first for this show, and I'm very excited about all this. And without taking up too much time, why don't we do this? But we want to set this up. So you want to go ahead and introduce the Paganini Trio and the Stanford alum opera singer?
Yes. Before I do...
Oh, yeah. That piece that we just heard.
Bert, the first piece that we heard was an adagio for my piano teacher and composition teacher, now deceased, Clara Tietelbaum. And it was a piece that I wrote for her when she was almost 90. And
how old were you?
Whatever she was, I was much younger. But she was a beautiful, fantastic musician. And Clara went to Juilliard at age 15, where she was a piano prodigy, studied with Alexander Solotti there
at Juilliard. It had to be a long time ago, didn't it?
It was 1928-29, and Clara passed away just a few years ago. And I'm looking at right here a photograph that Clara gave to me when I studied with her in the 1990s. This was after some time at conservatory and when I was at one time a music major.
There's one old guy with long hair, long white hair, sitting in a chair, and there's a guy kind of leaning over his shoulder, a younger guy.
Who are
these two guys?
Well, Alexander.
A very old picture, too.
That's right. Alexander Solotti, before he fled the Russian Revolution in 1917, taught and worked quite a bit in Moscow Conservatory. Solotti, who was my teacher's teacher, studied harmony with Tchaikovsky, and he studied between 1883 to 1886 with this man sitting here in this chair in this photo. And
with
here's Solotti.
Hair.
Yes, and Solotti's standing over him. He was his student for 3 years, and that man is Franz Liszt.
Wow.
And Franz Liszt was Solotti's piano teacher for quite a few years, and Solotti very much admired Liszt, as did everyone. He was the great lion. You could see he would say he was sort of a superstar of the 19th century. And
wow.
Franz Liszt's teacher was Carl Czerny. Carl Czerny's teacher was Ludwig von Beethoven. Beethoven's teacher was Haydn. So there's a little lineage here.
So you're not just a simple archaeologist, are you?
Well, I have a lot of love for creative ventures.
You sure do. And you've written these pieces that we're going to hear today. And for fear of using up too much time on the mic,
let's talk
why don't
about
we get to
the
these
great
pieces?
People. Yes.
Let's set up this. You have the Paganini Trio. We want to thank them for coming in today. And you want to introduce them. And also the renowned Stanford alum opera singer from San Diego.
Yeah. Well, Elise Nakajima, who's has a very good opera career. She's going to be performing as a coloratura soprano in Gounod's Faust in April for the San Diego Opera. And Elise has also performed this song in Switzerland at the Grand San Bernard 18th century or Baroque chapel. And the Paganini Trio with Joe Gold and Debbie Dare and a Spanish composer from Barcelona, a renowned composer, Jaume Torrent, or Torrent, and he's going to be having a piece today, too. So Joe Gold, who's a violin virtuoso, an expert, a very, very renowned performer on Paganini, of course, and Sarasate, and he is playing today on a very famous Strad. So we have a Stradivarius.
Oh, I thought you meant Stradicaster.
Right, we've got a Stradivarius violin. Joe Gold is playing that. And Debbie Dare is playing viola, and Jaume Torrent is playing the classical Spanish guitar. And so you can also hear them. They're going to be performing Friday at Ifshin Violins in El Cerrito. You can find more about them and their recording and their labels at josephgold.com. And they're just all fantastic. And they're going to start with a piece from an opera that I have been writing. And the opera is Byron in Greece. And they'll be performing a song from that. I write art songs and lieder as well. And this particular piece that they're going to be performing is from a Byron poem. And I know it's been set to music multiple times. This particular song is So We'll Go No More A-Roving. And it's a romantic piece. And I think they're about ready to cue. And I'm just thrilled to have this bird. This is so exciting for me. This is the first radio broadcast of this song.
And the moon may itself have rest.
Elise Nakajima, Stanford alum, now with the San Diego Opera, performing with the Paganini Trio, performing an original composition by my guest today, Patrick Hunt. And Patrick, take it away and talk about that a little bit.
Thanks, Bird. Well, what a pleasure that was to hear and to have such gifted musicians performing. I can tell you that for me, I have not had that opportunity enough in the past few years because I've been working quite a bit in archaeology here at Stanford, and I have been able to get some writing done every year. I guess in October I had a performance by some Duke University musicians of a song cycle, Songs of Exile, and that was really exciting too. But these musicians are fantastic too. And the opera is in progress. That was a romantic song to be, if you think of the opera, the sort of tableau, this will be sort of a serenade song. And in the premiere of the opera, this will be a piece where the primary accompaniment will be, no doubt, romantic guitar. And I think we're going to, I believe Jama would be perfect for that too. And the strings, we might try that in sort of pizzicato, if Joe and Debbie are up for that too. And The opera, I guess I've written maybe about a third of the opera so far, so it's going to be a while to finish it. And it will probably be performed in Greece as well. I've heard from folks in New York that we'll probably be having the opera there too. But I think we're going to premiere the opera here.
At Stanford?
Very likely, yes. And that'll be exciting. So that tableau, think of a night scene with moonlight and the serenade with Elise by moonlight with guitar, with maybe the moon on the water or something like that.
You're listening to Patrick Hunt here on the Lunch Special. Patrick, you're once again, not just a lecturer here at Stanford, you're many things in several many departments. Are you affiliated with the music department as well?
I haven't been affiliated with this department. In previous places, colleges where I've taught, I taught music history. I led an early music consort, that was fun. But I think at Stanford, it's advisable to wear mostly one hat, and so
it's archaeology for you, right? And we're gonna get into your many roles around here on campus. But let's get to this next piece. Now, this is a piece that the guitar player has composed, isn't it?
Yes, Jaume Torrent is a very famous, renowned Spanish composer from Barcelona, and he's of course more well known in Europe than here. And this is exciting because it's only right that such a great composer as Jaume have a piece performed here too with the Paganini Trio. And it's a scherzo that Jaume wrote, and it's very, very fun and brisk and lively. So whenever they're ready.
I'd just like to tell the radio audience that this scherzo was written especially for Jaume's tour of the United States, so the ink is barely dry. Thank you.
the Paganini Trio, featuring Jama Torrent. Jama wrote this piece, and Debbie Dare was on viola, and Joe Gold on violin, on an original Stradivarius, by the way. And Patrick Hunt, our guest, the Stanford, so many different things. Why don't you pick it up from there, Patrick, and talk about that?
Well, I've just been very lucky to be here at Stanford for, I guess it's my 20th year now. Somehow, this is an amazing occurrence. So I'm just very thrilled. I feel so lucky to be part of Stanford. And I have had sponsorship here at Stanford for at least the last decade by some very, very lovely, wonderful, generous, hospitable people.
And we feel honored having you here on these airwaves, too. Well, thank you very much for taking time out to be on this little old show here.
Well, it's such a pleasure, Bert. And Elise, can you step up to the mic? We'd like to hear a little bit about you.
Hi.
Can you tell us a little bit about your Stanford musical career? I know you did opera here, Magic Flute.
Sure. I was at Stanford from 1999 to 2003. And I knew that I wanted to do music coming in, but I was pretty sure I would double major. So I ended up double majoring in music, a vocal performance with honors, as well as linguistics.
Which doesn't surprise us, because Elise, you have such a fine ear. Tell us a little bit about your upcoming opera, the Gounod's Faust role for the San Diego Opera.
Sure. Well, in the opera business, we're still very much young artists into our early 30s, which I have not quite hit yet. So many of us work our way into opera companies through young artist apprenticeship programs. And I was a young artist with the San Diego Opera for the 2008 to 2009 season, where I toured around with the education ensembles in Così fan tutte, and now I'm coming back to do chorus for Faust in April.
Elise, thank you, and we can look you up. You're all over Google, and you're on the Internet, and we can find out more about you on your website, correct?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Elise. What an honor for all of us, and especially for me to have you. And so go look at Elise Nakajima, E-L-Y-S-E, Nakajima, and you can look at her work. And Joseph Gold, with your Stradivarius, I'd like you to talk for a bit too. But I also want, and Jaume, we want to hear from you a minute too on that scherzo, if we could. What an honor and pleasure to have such fine musicians. As I said, for me, it's rare because it's you know, fine musicians are not always easy to get. And of course, because they're professionals, one wants to remunerate them sufficiently. And they're, of course, Joseph Gold. Do you want to tell a little bit, Joe, about you and your Paganini and Sarasate, and then also about your Strad there, the Stradivarius?
Well, that's a pleasure, Patrick. Thank you very much for inviting us. We're greatly honored. The violin is very old. It was made in the 1690s. It's a very good example of Stradivarius from that period. And it is making its radio debut. And the violin has been in private hands. It was unknown for about 60 years. And nobody played it in concert. So today, ladies and gentlemen, you heard the violin for the first time in more than 60 years.
That's exciting. Tell us about the Paganini Trio and your work with Paganini and Sarasate.
I was very inspired by my very first violin teacher, and he gave me certain heroes, and Sarasate and Paganini were two of them. And then when my son went to study in Spain, I was introduced to Jaume by a man who helped me in a Sarasate project. And Jaume then invited me to play a concert in Spain with him. And then I had a music festival at a very famous castle in the Tyrolean Alps in Austria. And Jaume came and spent one entire week. And everywhere he goes, he's inspired to write music. Over anything. My wife Debbie made some waffles for him to introduce him to American stuff, and he, after breakfast, he went and he wrote a waltz called Debbie's Waffle Waltz.
But I also want to thank you for your piece. And the piece is kind of in the style, it's called the From the Medici Suite, and it's very much like the music of the Baroque era. It reminds me a little bit of Corelli.
Yes.
And this violin would be the ideal voice to play that piece.
Joe, I cannot tell you how excited I am to hear this little solo, sort of Bach-like piece. And you're right, my music is often described as neo-Baroque, and I sort of love counterpoint, but here for the solo violin, I cannot tell you how excited I am to have this piece premiered on a Stradivarius. Wow. And Jaume, can we hear from you too for a minute here, and Debbie too. Jaume, can you tell us just a bit about your scherzo that we heard today premiered? Yes. And Jaume Torrent from Barcelona. If you could speak for a few minutes here. Tell us about that scherzo.
Very few minutes, because my English is not very good. My scherzo is inspired in of course, in California, like other pieces that I wrote from the last years that I came here. California is for me a second home, and it's very exciting for me. Came here for play with Joe and Debbie, the Paganini Trio, and that inspired me for write many pieces.
Oh, we're so thrilled. We had a wonderful, I found out that Joe Gold and Jaume Torrent and Debbie Dare, they're all foodies, and they love truffles, tartufo bianco. And Debbie, if we could hear from you for a moment.
When Jaume is here, I like to introduce to him things that I consider American. And that's why I introduced waffles to him. Well, the best compliment that I could have ever gotten after making my waffles was to have Jaume write this wonderful waffle waltz for me.
That is great.
And then, of course, later on, just to show you what an inspired composer he is, we go out into the garden, and I say, "Oh, look at this weed." And he says, "Oh, no, that's a clover. Look at this beautiful clover." And he decides to go into the music room, and immediately he writes a clover trio.
Oh, fantastic. The way that you three mesh so beautifully together is inspiring, and I know that you perform a lot around, and we should mention again your performance at Ifshin Violins here in the Bay Area on Friday. What time on Friday?
Yes, it will be at 8 o'clock, and tickets will be available at the door.
All right.
The address is 6420 Fairmount Avenue in El Cerrito.
Great. I know you do a lot of salons. The Paganini Trio plays a lot all over the world, and I know some of the California venues for your salon. In particular, I know you do some of the salons for Nienke Homan, who probably is listening to you today, and I saw Nienke on Saturday, and what a lovely, lovely woman. She's like Madame de Stael in her fantastic salons that were really part of that great Enlightenment series. Madame de Stael, Coppé, and Nienke provides that here in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And I know we're all fortunate to have these kinds of connections. And I think Joe is now going to play this piece from the Medici Suite. He'll be playing this unaccompanied piece. And this Medici Suite I wrote some years ago in Tuscany near Gaiole. And Joe, whose teacher was Yasha Heifetz, as a violin virtuoso, you think of the great string tradition. And I know Joe not only learned a lot from Yasha Heifetz, but his own career has been so memorable and momentous. And for me, as I said, it's such an honor to have Joe play this. So, Jaume,
Torrent and Debbie Dare, the other two members of the Paganini Trio, and now Joseph Gold playing on a 1690s Stradivarius, a piece from the Medici Suite that I wrote a few years ago. So, Joe, go ahead. Thank you. Joe, thank you so much. I'm just thrilled to be able to hear that for the first time on a live broadcast. This was a premiere of this piece from the Medici Suite, and thank you so much, Joe. I'm so honored to be able to share music. And you know, when I was a kid, my brothers and I we were five boys, and we sang a cappella and it was funny when we started in our very early childhood. My mother used to play a lot of Robert Schumann on the piano, Traumerie, things like that. And she would basically, I think she loved Ethelbert Nevin, sort of a forgotten composer now. She played a lot of piano. But I don't know how we got the idea as boys. I think we were just put up to it. And so we sang a lot in sacred settings, religious settings, churches around San Diego as kids. That was a lot of fun. And because we were a cappella, we had to learn how to harmonize with each other. And that's the sort of thing that is very good for voice training. I think while I am not a composer of the stature that I would like to be, maybe someday I will, I can't think, however, of better training, because so many composers started out in choirs, started out only hearing the human voice, which is, as you know, about the oldest musical instrument that humans have.
Sure.
So that was exciting.
Patrick Hunt, you're our guest today. This is an amazing feat you pulled off, bringing in the Paganini Trio. We want to thank all of them. Debbie Dare on viola, Yaman Torrance on classical Spanish guitar, and Joseph Gold on violin. And we want to let you know you can get a hold of the Paganini Trio at josephgold.com. We also want to thank Stanford alum, who we definitely want to get back as soon as we can, Elise Nakajima.
She'll be away in the San Diego Opera season in April, singing in Faust. But she lives here in California.
Yeah, locally. So yeah,
you will want to hear her again.
Do we have another piece we can play for the folks?
Yes.
As a little musical interlude, and then come back. We want to find out a little bit about you,
okay,
Mr. Hunt.
All right. Well, this is an organ piece called Resurrexit, and it's a triumphant piece. It kind of, while it doesn't pull out all the stops, it has an interesting registration for brass and some diapason and maybe a little bit of reed in places. I'm going to go ahead and put this on. So Resurrexit, an organ prelude. It has been performed only once before in Switzerland. So here we go.
Thank you.
Patrick Hunt, our guest today, Stanford lecturer, visiting scholar, and let's just go down the list here, has written 15 books, published 11. Played the one and only, for the last 500 years, one-man concert with a wood flute at Machu Picchu in 1988. Started a career in singing in childhood in San Diego. Went to college for music theory, composition, and history. Attended Simpson College in California. Went to 5 different grad schools. Was at the Conservatory of Music. Has written movie scores. Attended UC Berkeley, Latin and Greek mythology, and art history. American School of Classical Studies in Athens, the Institute of Classical Studies, and the Institute of Archaeological Studies in London. And now he's a visiting scholar here at Stanford for the last 20 years. Patrick Hunt, did I miss anything?
Excuse me.
Go ahead now. Did I miss anything?
Oh, I guess I've been a lecturer. I guess almost every year I've been a lecturer here, too. I've been in off and on a decade in classics and in anthropological science. And I've also spent many years in the humanities program in the structural liberal education track. And I'm very, very grateful to them. I still do a lot of lecturing for SLE, which is a blast. It's sort of the great books of Western civilization and its history and poetry and art. So it's really fun to
teach. Dude, you're one busy cat. I'm sorry to interrupt, but time is extremely pressing here. But what really fascinated me, and we got to talk for about an hour and a half before the show, what really fascinated me about your whole life story is two things. The first one, your one-man concert at Machu Picchu. You talked about finding an echo up against a granite wall in a natural amphitheater built that had to be built, what, over 1,000 years ago, right?
Well, it was built about, this is at
B.C.
Yeah, well, Machu Picchu is Inca, so it's only about 600 or 700 years old.
Oh, okay, 600 years
ago.
Yeah,
that was amazing.
Yeah, you did a one-man concert, you had a flute, and you said the echo, just describe what happened with that echo. You would send these notes out, and they would come back to you in intervals, and then you started mixing the set, you started doing thirds and fifths, and explain that a little bit for the folks.
Well, that was something where I had studied the acoustics in Greek theaters when I was a graduate student at the American School of Classical Studies in Athens. The assigned project to me was the acoustics of Greek theaters, which, think of it as an amphitheater in the Greek world was like a megaphone. It's a cone of sound. And
they were designed that way.
Exactly. And so I worked on the theater of Epidaurus, or Epidavros, in Greece.
So what you found at Machu Picchu was this was a theater.
Absolutely.
That was made and very unorthodoxically up against a ravine.
That's correct.
Right? You said yes. 2,000 feet deep.
Down to the Urubamba River. You can see the white water roaring way down below. It's like a white snake 2,000 feet below. And there is an amphitheater at Machu Picchu.
Right on the edge of that cliff.
That's correct.
And that faces a granite wall on the other side of the river.
That's right. It's about a quarter mile away is some granite cliffs.
And so as you blew these notes, they went and hit the granite wall and came back to you.
They bounced back. And I was just experimenting, Bert. I didn't know quite how this would work, but when the sound came back to me without any decay whatsoever, I realized, wow. So I sent that same little leitmotif, this little song back. I sent this about 11-note riff, if you wish. I sent it back out, and when it came back to me this time without any decay, I harmonized a major third over it. And then it came back again, and I harmonized another third over that, and it came back, and I couldn't believe it. The decay didn't happen until you got to about the 13th. So it was amazing that I was making a cascade of sound with one flute.
You're a one-man orchestra.
I couldn't believe it. And
dude.
Then people started coming around, and I realized they were the local Quechua, the descendants of the Inca.
The people that lived there.
That's right, who had lived there, who had built this place in about 30 or 40.
500 years ago.
Exactly.
And what did the old man tell you after you got done?
Well, I kind of had to stop because after 20 minutes of this, and I was doing a counterpoint to myself, I was inverting it, I was speeding it up, strato slowing it down, mm-hmm. and the
sort of a it's kind of one of those hair-raising experiences.
Sure,
the hair on the back of my neck went up,
yeah.
And I said, I don't know how I'm going to stop. And that whole amphitheater was filled with those Quechua, you know, the descendants of the Inca. And then all of a sudden, it had been kind of a rainy day earlier, and all of a sudden, the clouds broke open, and there was a triple rainbow. And I said, I've got to stop. I don't know what's going to happen next. It was kind of getting a little bit spooky. So I stopped. But then the headman, the local Quechua headman, came up to me, and he called me. He said, you know, you are an Amauta. And the Amautas were the Inca astronomer, priests, agronomists, poets, composers. They
all wrapped up into one guy.
Yeah, they did a lot of archaeoastronomy at Machu Picchu. Lined up the Intihuatana, the hitching post of the sun, with the peaks. They knew when the sun was going to rise. And this Amauta character in the Inca society, everybody knows when to harvest a crop because they're ripe. But what he would figure out as an astronomer, artist, composer, poet, the Amautas in the Inca world, who were probably the cousin of the Inca ruler, they figured out when to plant the crops by the stars and by the sun and by the moon. And so they wrote the music for it as they're planting their crops.
And this old man called you an Amauta.
He called me Amauta.
And that had to be very honoring for you,
huh? It's one of the highest compliments I've ever been paid. And I said, I'm not. You know, soy un Amauta. And he said, but you are. And then he said, you're the first person to play here in 500 years.
That must have blown your mind.
How did you know? And I said, well, how do you know that? And he said, oh, we know.
We've been here 500 years. Another project you work on here at Stanford, if the music wasn't enough, you're an archaeologist.
That's what my PhD was in, at the Institute of Archaeology in London.
And we talked off mic before the show about the project you work on now is once a year, you're going back to Europe and tracing the steps, the steps of Hannibal. Now, talk about that work.
Well, again, we've been so fortunate that we've been sponsored here at Stanford by the most amazing people, Helen and Peter Bing.
Mm-hmm.
And they have taken us on, and for the last decade plus now, have been writing, you know, basically underwriting this project.
That means they cut the checks.
Yes. And
you take groups of people back.
Take Stanford students.
You're going to the Alps now?
We've spent a lot of time in the Alps tracking the route of Hannibal, the general who took an army and at least 37 elephants over the Alps in 218 BC.
This is amazing. And you've traced his steps.
We've tried. I think we're getting there. I think we're pretty well on. We know parts of the route very carefully, yes.
And then the outcome of this project will be what, a paper, a book?
Well, I'm writing a
movie.
Book. I'm writing a book right now for a New York publisher on Hannibal. And I'm, of course, doing a lot of other things, too.
Right.
So,
that's kind of a history project, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, the neat thing, too, a couple years ago, I was one of the faculty leaders in a Stanford alumni program on a trip. And the way these things dovetail, Bert, is amazing because we had a solo time in the Basilica of San Marco in Venice. All to ourselves, we had the entire cathedral, the basilica, and I got to sing and play that same flauto dolce, that little flute, in St. Mark's. And that's where the echoes are simply astonishing with those vaults.
Mm-hmm.
And a poor singer like me, I could actually find my voice sounded so much better. You know, we all sing in the shower, right?
Right, right.
Well, this was a super vaulted atmospheric, acoustic paradise to sing in St. Mark's by myself as a solo. I wrote a Gregorian chant that I sang for that.
Wow.
And so I get to go out on these projects with Stanford. I feel, Bert, like the luckiest man in the world to get to do what I love.
It's amazing.
And that's how I met Elise. And that's how, because Elise, as a Stanford alumna, came and sang during a time when we were at the Grand San Bernard Monastery, high at the top of the Alps. And she was accompanied by an organist who'd won the Prix de Valais. And Elise sang, gave a concert there at this church, this Baroque church high in the Alps. It's an austere place, but inside it's a beautiful Baroque chapel. And she was accompanied by someone who was playing the highest organ, the highest altitude organ in the world.
Wow.
So it's real fun to be able to do that. And if you want me to play another piece.
Well, we have time for one more, but I do want to do this. Patrick Hunt, you've been our guest today. I want to thank you so much. And I also want to thank the Paganini Trio and Elise Nakajima. But Patrick, wait, we do have one more piece. But if people want to get a hold of you, they can do it at patrickhunt.net, correct?
True, or I'm pretty easy to find.
Can they email you?
Yes.
Well, what would your email be?
phunt@stanford.edu.
Oh, that's real easy.
Very.
And again, you're working in so many different areas. Like you've written movie scores that we couldn't even. Will you come back? Because we didn't. We weren't able to cover hardly anything but the music and then little pieces of everything. Can you come back sometime soon?
Yes, I can. And,
okay.
And this is this little piece I'm going to play next. I just received my 10th recognition, I guess, award, you could say, from ASCAP, the American Society of Composers. And this is a little piece I wrote recently, and it's for guitar, two guitars, actually, or guitar and string bass, kind of a figure bass type piece. And I spent a lot of time in Sicily working, and this is a piece sort of inspired by Agrigento, the ancient Akragas, the place that Pindar, the Greek poet, said was the most beautiful place in the world, and it inspired me.
Patrick Hunt, thank you so much for being a guest on the Lunch Special.
Bird, what a pleasure. Thank you.
All right.
Here's this piece, Agrigento.